It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Gene Purcell, in today for Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll be talking to a psychologist about the stress associated with long-term unemployment and how to deal with it.
But first, we're talking about the news from over the weekend that a serpent-handling pastor died from a snake bite.
He was Jamie Coots, a Pentecostal pastor and leader of the Full Gospel Tabernacle in Jesus' Name Church, the biggest serpent-handling church in the country. He passed away on Saturday after he was bitten by a poisonous snake and after he refused treatment.
2 weeks ago, to the best of our knowledge, producer Charles Monroe Kane spoke with Pastor Coots about snake handling and how it relates to his faith. It turned out to be one of his last interviews.
Charles joins us in the studio right now to talk about Pastor Coots' death and the practice of serpent handling. Charles, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much, Gene.
Now, you spoke with Pastor Coots just a couple of weeks ago, and put that in context for us. What was the discussion? Why were you there talking to him? And then you've also brought some audio along to share.
Well, the premise was I wanted to talk to him about survival. It was supposed to be a short little interview for To Best of Our Knowledge about survival and what he did. But we got into this huge discussion about the theology of snake handling and kind of his example of Jesus, of why he does what he does. And it turned out to be a very powerful and passionate one, and also, unfortunately, a very telling one of where his future was going to go.
So you brought along some audio. Tell us of what we're going to hear in a second.
Well, this is just a short excerpt. I interviewed him for about 45 minutes, and this is about a six-minute excerpt from the interview, the end of the interview, where he talks about not only death, but also his own death. And this is the tape.
You go into the church. It's just like any other church. You take up a prayer request. You start the worship part of the service, the singing. And as service goes along, maybe the Lord will move on someone, maybe not, you know, to handle serpents. They're there 3 times a week, but it's not always done. But you go through the course of a service with singing and worship, and then, of course, you have the minister that preaches and testimony service and, you know, take up an offering sometimes and dismiss and go home. So it's no different than any other church except the small part of taking up serpents, which is not done as often as people think. And our main goal, like every other religion, is salvation, to see someone saved.
You know, I'm curious. It's interesting to me. You personally, who's someone who does this quite a bit, handling serpents, and poisonous ones at that, what are you feeling at that moment? Is it an ecstatic state? Are you slain in the spirit, or are you very present? I mean, what is the feeling like for you personally as you pick up that poisonous snake? I mean, I would be scared to death.
You have the presence of mind to know what you're doing, but yet you have this anointing overcoming you that you know God is working through you, and you can do these things, and it'll be okay. You know, I don't know anyone that can actually describe the feeling of what the anointing is. I mean, it's a peace. It's feeling like nothing else around matters. You have a direct connection with God, and God is telling you that you can do this just for His glory, just so people can see that this creature that He created that can potentially cause death, He has power over it.
Now, you've been bitten, right?
I have. I've been bitten 9 times.
9 times. You even lost one of your fingers, correct? From a rattlesnake bite.
I did. Half of my middle finger on my right hand is gone from a rattlesnake bite.
Can I ask you a personal question? And I've just been so curious about this for days, reading about you. You were bitten, and I'm curious why you were bitten. I mean, was there a moment in your head where you were like, this is God punishing me? I had sin in my life? It seems like you shouldn't be bitten if this is what you do.
That's right. I don't believe that you should be bitten and hurt. The times that I have been bitten and hurt, which has been 3 times that I was bitten and not hurt. But the times that you are bitten and hurt is because either you move too quickly or you move too slow after the Spirit is done moved off of you, or you did have something in your life that you shouldn't have been handling in its time. And when I say that, I don't mean no great big sin. I don't mean you went out here and stole or killed or fornicated or committed adultery. But Maybe you've just had an argument with your wife. I've done that. Maybe just on the way to church, someone cuts you off and not cursing, but yet you say something that's not very Christian-like. You know, you roll your window down, holler at them, you know, hey, you ignorant person, where'd you get your driver's license? Well, that's not Christian-like. So then go on to church and think, well, that weren't that bad. God understands. I think I'll just get in and handle a snake. Well, you know, then if you're bitten, you're thinking, well, maybe God wasn't pleased with what I've done, and I shouldn't have been trying to work in the signs and let people think that God had moved on me when I knew that I had done something God wasn't pleased with.
Have others in your church been bitten? Just normal people in the congregation?
Yes. My son has been bitten. My dad has been bitten. My uncle has been bitten. My first cousin's husband has been bitten. And other people that have come to the church in time past, but that's as far as our regular members that we have right now that have been bitten during church services.
Have you had someone who's died during one of your church services?
There was a woman that was bitten in 1995 at homecoming on a Sunday morning. It died at my house on a Tuesday afternoon.
What happened? Was she handling the snake and was lost in the spirit and then made a mistake? She must have refused medical attention, I assume, right?
I don't know what happened. She came up front. She got the serpent and was bitten, and her husband asked her immediately, said, are you going to go to the hospital? She said, no, they had 5 kids. He said, you need to think about these kids. She said, I am thinking about my kids, but I'm not going to the doctor. I'm trusting God. And she trusted God, and Tuesday about 1:30, she died.
As a human being, how do you feel about what happened? I mean, she's dead.
Well, it was hard. It's to the point now, you know, 18 years later, I don't think about it a whole lot. But at that time, it was hard to accept that someone had died, even though I noted people dying before. It was hard to accept that this woman was bitten in my church, died in my house, and I didn't understand. You know, I didn't understand why she died. And now the only way I can explain it is it was just God's will. It's so different than dying in a car wreck. And I tell people, you know, they tell me, do you want to die of a snake bite? And I say no, because it brings persecution upon the church. But if I had to die in some sort of tragedy, you know, just lay down and go to sleep and die, which is what I hope to do. But if I had to die in some sort of tragedy, I had rather, even though it's going to bring persecution, be serpent bit. And everybody standing around me praying as to be out here and be in a car crash and everybody standing around me cussing.
Charles Monroe Kane interviewing Pastor Jamie Coots, who passed away over the weekend, a story that's been making a lot of the national news last couple of days, died as a result of a serpent handling, being bitten by a poisonous snake. Charles Monroe Kane, as you watch the media coverage of this story, how does it compare with the person you talked to a couple of weeks ago?
It's really different. I mean, the media coverage has really made him a caricature, and it's too bad because it wouldn't take that much work to dig a little bit deeper into what he believes, or at least why they're doing what they're doing. And I'll give you a good example. These guys, and he's a good example of this, don't get medical attention, right? So you think that they're part of a group of people who don't get medical attention for anything. He's a coal miner, and he has really bad asthma from coal mining, and he goes to the hospital once a week for treatments for his asthma. He's not against going to the hospital or against medical treatment. The reason they don't get medical treatment is all the local hospitals, in their opinion, it's about being embarrassed. And that those local hospitals would see them and see their failure, and that would not bring grace to God. And because of that, they refuse to do the medical attention. It is not because they don't believe in medical attention. And I think that's a big difference, because all the news reports I've read is like, he refused medical attention, you know, in all things. It's just not true. And he only refused medical attention for this one specific reason. And I think he even says in the interview, you know, it's all about the glory of God, and that it would bring down derision on the glory of God if you went to the hospital and showed that you're a hick who got killed by a snake, you know. And I think that's a really interesting point.
And where does the snake handling fit into his religious worldview? Because for many of us around the rest of the country, it looks very unusual, and we quite frankly don't understand it.
Well, he's Pentecostal, so a lot of people will know, especially see people with their hands in the air speaking in tongues. So that's something they can understand. That comes from the Bible, from Mark 16, and it's verses 17 through 18. I'll read them real quick. And these signs shall follow he that believes. In the name of those that will cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay the hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So they take that literally. He also, by the way, yearly has a practice where he and some other people, elders in the church, privately drink strychnine with some other people around so they can celebrate that God did not let them die in the drinking of it. So that's where they get it from. That's the theology. That's it. There's the only time that's mentioned in the Bible.
So, Charles, what's the future of the audio that we just heard a few moments ago? What happens to that?
Well, first, right now, it's on To the Best of Our Knowledge's website, which is at ttbook.org, where you can share it with others and listen to more of it. And it's going to air in a longer version, about a 13-minute version will air this weekend, where we get involved more in the theology, he and I, in the theology of what he believes. It's very powerful in light of what happened to him. I have to be honest to hear some of the stuff that he talks about and the fact that he's willing to test his faith so far to die for it, and he meant it. He means it in the interview, and he meant it at the end because he refused that ambulance. He refused any medical treatment, and he wanted to die, and he said that that's what God's will was. That was God's will. His family respected that and held hands around them while he died. That's, you know, I don't know if I agree with his beliefs, but I certainly respect the bravery of what he did.
Charles, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
Charles Monroe Kane, a producer on one of Wisconsin Public Radio's national shows, To the Best of Our Knowledge.